They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How are companies reacting to that judge's ruling on the healthcare law?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It looks like President Obama's healthcare law will be decided by the Supreme Court. Yesterday, a lower court judge declared part of the law unconstitutional. Marketplace's Janet Babin is here with me in New York to tell us what that means for businesses that are trying to comply with healthcare reform. Morning, Janet.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So first, remind us exactly what the judge ruled.
Well, the judge ruled that it was, as you said, unconstitutional to require people to buy insurance. And if you remember, that was part of President Obama's health care reforms that was to take effect in 2014.
Right.
Now, U.S. District Judge Henry Hudson ruled that that provision invites an unbridled exercise of federal police powers. And while the decision was about what individuals have to do, obviously, this is also going to affect health care companies and other businesses that have to eventually comply with this law.
So how do these companies deal with that kind of uncertainty now?
Well, they're watching whether there's going to be a full repeal or just an overhaul of the bill. There are still a number of other legal challenges out there that have to work their way through the courts. I talked to Dave Shove about this. He's a senior healthcare analyst at BMO Capital Markets, and he told me that firms really can't plan for some uncertain future.
Until there is a final ruling, the companies will act as if the law is going to be implemented as written. There's still a lot of gray around that.
And after the ruling came down yesterday, Jeremy, health insurer stocks, the prices of those stocks initially rose and then they tapered off later in the day as the speculation being that investors realized that this healthcare soup, you know, this healthcare bill soup was just going to get even thicker.
Even thicker. Don't know what's going to happen next. Marketplace's Janet Babin, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Looks like the Senate will have no trouble approving the tax cut compromise today. A vote last night to advance the deal was 83-15. House Democrats will meet behind closed doors tonight to discuss the deal. Now, as with any legislation whose price tag exceeds $800 billion, there are some contents we haven't heard much about. One is a tax benefit for commuters. That was part of the 2009 stimulus package, and the idea is that mass transit riders should be able to write off the same amount as people who pay to park their cars at work. Marketplace's David Gura has more.
The tax break gave commuters a new incentive to use mass transit. They could deduct up to $230 per month for bus rides, train fare, and van pools. Jay Winters is with the Center for Urban Transportation Research. He says studies have shown this kind of benefit does change how people behave.
There was an increase in transit ridership. In some cases, transit ridership more than doubled.
And that kind of growth can be even more valuable than building new infrastructure that doesn't create jobs right away. Rachel Weinberger is a professor at Penn.
Anytime you spend money on transit, that's money that stays in the local economy.
She says increased demand means bus drivers and maintenance workers keep their jobs, and they usually spend their money where they live. So, does it make sense to extend the tax benefit?
There's no downside. And if it actually is effective, then there's a potential tremendous upside.
Fewer cars on the road, less pollution, and more commuters using mass transit. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed across Europe and Asia right now. There are reports that Yahoo will announce a 5% cut in staff today. That would amount to about 600 layoffs. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 18 points to close at 11,428.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at NovoNordisk-US.com.
You know those guys on the airport tarmac who direct planes with those bright orange wands? Well, they're called marshallers in the industry. And now American Airlines say they don't need their wands anymore. Instead, the company is using sensors on the terminal wall to glide the planes into place. Chicago Public Radio's Tony Arnold hit the runway for us.
American Airlines is the only major airline to use the devices extensively so far. It's rolling them out at some of the biggest airports across the country, Miami, Dallas, New York, and as recently as this summer, the device went live at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport.
It'll identify the aircraft type, and it will wait until that aircraft type presents itself to this gate.
Pilot John Burton has been with American for 25 years.
When it does, it'll give it guidance for centerline, and then it will allow it to come in to a stop point. And you can see the stop point right there is that yellow T right on the ground.
We're standing on the ramp watching the plane nose in. Burton points out the black box hanging in front of us that looks pretty much like a digital clock. As we walk down the terminal, he brags about how the sensors inside help pilots see exactly where to line up their planes and how they shave 2 minutes off each flight's time on the runway, critical for an airport like O'Hare, notorious for delays.
That's the leading edge. It doesn't get any more up-to-date than this.
I know that with technology, there's always the chance of failure.
Sean Doyle heads the union in charge of American Airline Marshallers at O'Hare. These workers are responsible for more than just helping to park planes. They also unload luggage and de-ice aircraft. Doyle says under the old system, three people guided one plane to the gate.
With six set of hands on that and all the eyeballs on it, I think it's safer than when we do it with us doing the work, personally.
American has not cut any jobs since installing the devices, and Burton, the pilot, says the airline won't. But Doyle isn't so sure. He says he doesn't think his job's in danger until airlines come up with a device that physically unloads bags from the plane. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold for Marketplace.
And finally, while we're on the subject of airlines, the latest numbers are in on how much the airlines made on all those annoying fees you have to pay to change your ticket and to check bags. $4.5 billion so far this year. Delta alone collected about $1.25 billion. Well, one carrier only made $22 million on fees because it doesn't charge to change tickets and only charges passengers if they check more than two bags. That would be Southwest Airlines, which strangely was still able to post a $200 million profit last quarter. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
We've all gotten a bad gift or two, but did you ever stop to think about what they might be costing you?
To calculate the total loss in value of this candle to me, I would say that it took up 0.01% of my floor space. And when you multiply that by my rent and by 12 months, it comes out to $1.50 per year.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Freakonomics of holiday gift giving, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us.
Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.